Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark in the 16th chapter, and I'll be reading from verses 1 through 8 and tacking on verse 15 at the end. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation." May the Holy Spirit add a blessing to this reading as we have shared it. So I have a question for you this morning that, as we have fast-forwarded, it seems, from the season of Advent and Christmas and now into Epiphany, into Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and here I am reading about a resurrected Jesus who's no longer in the tomb. What does Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome have to do with people like Susanna Wesley and Sojourner Truth and Reverend Anna Howard Shaw, Rosa Parks, Senator Hillary Clinton, First Lady Barbara Bush, Natalie Sleeth, who wrote Hymn of Promise, Nell Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, the Queen, Beyonce, and my favorite NCIS criminal forensic scientist, Pauly Perrette? What do they all have in common, all of these women? They're all United Methodist. Count me in. I want to be in that club, right? All of these women are women who love Jesus. They're all United Methodists. They are all people who seek to provide opportunities and resources to grow spiritually, to become more deeply rooted in Christ, and to put their faith in action. As Pastor Judy mentioned, today is United Methodist Women's Sunday in our church, and it's also a Sunday to promote camping ministries. And I, as a woman of God and as a pastor, would not be standing here before you if it were not for those two ministries of the United Methodist Women and for United Methodist Camping in the state of Michigan. United Methodist Women is the largest denominational faith organization that we have. Worldwide, there are approximately 800,000 women who participate in mission that fosters spiritual growth, that develops new leaders for our church, and that advocates for social justice. Members like those here at St. Paul's who partner together to raise nearly $50,000 in the span of just 1 year, partner together around the whole world. And in 2017, they raised over $20 million working together for mission on behalf of the least of these, on behalf of all the people whom Jesus was born and lived and died and was resurrected for. The statistics for 2018 aren't available yet, because we're just a few days into the new year. But of those I've talked to, they know it will surpass even that great number of $20 million. The projects and programs that United Methodist Women are a part of are designed to relate to women and children and youth in the United States and in more than 100 countries all over the world. United Methodist Women, people like you and me, are people of faith who understand that they are called to do hard things. Like Mary Magdalene, we are called to clothe the naked, to heal the sick, to rally against injustice, to sit with those who are grieving, like Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. We're called to roll away the stone and to shine light into the dark, shadowy, entombed places that society and the world has created. Mary, Mary Magdalene, and Salome, these are three women who had something terribly difficult to do on Easter Monday. They knew Jesus. They knew him as a babe. They knew him as a young boy who was running around the temple asking the rabbis questions. They knew him as the teenager who was running through the city streets causing a ruckus. They knew him as their prophet and their Messiah and the one who died as a king on the cross. And on this morning, early in the morning, they had to confront the realities of sin and death. They had to mourn the loss of their beloved King Jesus and perform the rituals of their faith. They did so with care and compassion, with gentleness and thoughtfulness, with all the fruits of the Spirit that would later be written about in the book of Galatians. They were courageous. They were bold. But I wonder if deep down that morning they laid in their bed for a few extra minutes. The sun wasn't even up yet, but they knew that they needed to be. But they laid there maybe with some sort of anxiety, not wanting to get up, but they were tired of tossing and turning, because that day they knew they had to do hard things. They had to greet a person that they have loved and that they have longed for, but who is now gone, and care for him and his body in an intimate way. Maybe they didn't want to do it, but they knew they had to. Fortunately, neither of these three women were alone in completing this act of faith. There were other sisters, other women who loved Jesus nearby, so that they could walk hand in hand up the hill to the cemetery, to the tomb where Jesus was buried. And perhaps together, as they watched the sunrise on that day, they acknowledged that, yes, together we can do hard things. Because Mary Magdalene, Mary, and Salome had faith. They had hope, and they had love. Faith, hope, and love. These are the biblical principles that Paul teaches about in his letter to the Corinthians. And these are the biblical principles upon which the United Methodist Women build their ministry here in this place and all around the world. We affirm that our faith pulls us out of bed in the morning and summons us into the world to act on behalf of the least of these, to do hard things. We also affirm that as Christians, as members together in the body of Christ, as people who have been baptized and raised up in one Spirit, we are never alone in this work. Faith, hope, and love. These are the unshakable truths that the United Methodist Women cling to as they dream, as they plan, as they fundraise, as they bake, as they implement their ministry initiatives. The five ministry initiatives of the United Methodist Women are incredible. They provide opportunities for people to grow spiritually. They equip women and girls to be leaders in their schools, in their churches, in their communities. They provide transformative educational experiences, offering textbooks, uniforms, and meals for women, girls, and for boys, so that they might have a chance to learn and grow. United Methodist Women organize for growth and flexibility, knowing that in each ministry context, ministry looks a little bit different. They work for justice through service, through advocacy. They are a force to be reckoned with. Are they not? There's a famous theologian named Emil Brunner, and he said long ago that the church exists by mission, as if a fire exists by burning. The church exists by mission, just as a fire exists by burning. So in other words, without the heat and the light and the motion of mission to propel us into the world, to keep us moving forward, the church loses its life force. The church loses its oomph. Without the mission, the church can turn inward. We can think about ourselves. We can think about our needs and wants. And as we turn inward, we wither and we die. But the United Methodist Women here in this place and in many other places are the force that will not let that happen. The United Methodist Women show us time and time again that mission does not exist without the work of the people. And they are the people that put that extra oomph in our livelihood, in our work together. For the UMW, the mission of leading through faith, hope, and love lies at the heart of what it means to be the church. And this is an example for all of us. A legacy that we love to celebrate, and a mission that God calls us to be a part of. I want to tell you a story about the church that I grew up in Kalamazoo. Hello back there. a church of just about 80 people called Millwood United Methodist in Kalamazoo, Michigan. This was the place where I was born and raised and nurtured in my faith. It was a church where throughout my whole early elementary, middle school, and high school years, male pastors were appointed. But it was a place where I knew that women were called to be leaders in the church. My Sunday school teachers were women. The woman who taught me to be an acolyte and who led my confirmation class was a dear woman of God and also a United Methodist woman. The person who led my youth group and who first planted the seed that I might be called by God into ministry was a woman, a United Methodist woman. These were all people who took me under their wings alongside my pastors and showed me my gifts and my graces. They were people who, as they poured water on my head, baptizing me and gave me my first Bible, taught me the lessons of faith, and instilled with me a sense that the church is bigger than just this place here in Millwood or in Kalamazoo. It's bigger than all of us. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with the world, is what gets us out of bed in the morning, is what summons us forth. Later on in my middle school and high school years, I would have an opportunity to go with some of these women in my church to camps all over the state, to places like Crystal Springs in Berrien Springs, Michigan, to places like Wesley Woods in Dowling, Michigan, Lake Louise in Pentwater, Judson Collins in Onsted, and in high school, Lake Louise in Boyne Falls. These women took me under their wing once again and showed me the power of taking time to care for my spiritual life, the power of investing myself in Christian community with other young people, the power of devoting my life and my heart to a Savior who knows me, who knows all of you, who wants the best for us, and who is always working in my life, in your life, in our church, in our world. It's because of United Methodist Women that I stand here today as an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church, as a pastor who cares about reaching new people in new places, as a person who longs to be in relationship with all of you, with everything that we do and say as United Methodists all over the world. There was one Christian counselor I knew at Lake Louise my senior year of high school. She was a doctor, an OBGYN, who had taken a week off of work to come to camp to serve alongside some people from her church. She was a cabin counselor, which meant that she packed up a suitcase and rolled out her sleeping bag and slept in the cabin with a bunch of squirrely, loud teenage girls obsessed with glitter and Justin Bieber, and oh boy, it was a week to remember. But she was there because she was called to be there. She'd never worked with youth a day in her life, but the United Methodist Women's Circle that she was a part of in her local church in Petoskey had challenged her through a Bible study to grow, to give of herself, to give of her time and her talent and her treasure. And vacation was something she treasured. 7 days off was something she could give. And she was a person who knew how to be in relationship with women. She was an OB-GYN after all. She knew what it meant to care for women and girls at some of the most intimate and difficult times in their life. And so sleeping in a tent or a cabin with a few of us wasn't that big of a deal. And so she was there for us. We worshiped together. We played Uno together. We stayed up late talking together. She prayed for us. She answered our deep questions about the faith. And to this day, I still keep in contact with her. She's one of my spiritual friends and mentors. She's been there for me along every stage of my journey. She was at my wedding. She was at my baby shower when Michael was about to be born. She came to my ordination service. She's a woman who knows that faith and hope and love are a mission that is meant to be lived out. And for her, that mission could be lived out right in her own neighborhood, just a few miles from her home and her home church in Petoskey. So she gave up of her time. She accepted the challenge from her circle leaders. And she was our camp counselor. The stories could go on and on, you guys. They really could. But today, what I want to share with you is that we are blessed by some incredible and gifted leaders here in this congregation through the ministry of the United Methodist Women who help our church be engaged in mission and service in our community here in Rochester, in Oakland County, in the city of Detroit, and in many, many places around the world. You can see the dozens of places where we're involved. by looking at the insert in your bulletin. I also want to say thank you. Whether this year you have helped the United Methodist women and their ministry by eating a cookie, by donating something to the rummage sale, by participating in a circle, singing in the chorus today, or volunteering your time for any one of their wonderful events. Thank you. Together, we are all living out our baptismal vows. We are all increasing our faith, confirming our hope, and perfecting one another in love. Thanks be to God for all of you, for the work of United Methodist women here in this place, and for all those opportunities where women around the world have said yes and have made a difference and have made disciples of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? God of love, the story of the life of your Son has taught us time and time again that people who work together can do hard things in the name of your great love. And so today, O God, we thank you. First, for the example of love that Jesus gave us, for the challenge and the opportunities that have been presented to us, and for all the ways in which you have emboldened us, empowered us to say yes to serving in his name. I thank you for the work of the United Methodist Women, for all those who have committed their time and talent and treasure, and for the ways that their ministry is supported here in this place at St. Paul's United Methodist. Amen.